This is exactly right.
Hi, I'm Erin Welsh.
And I'm Erin Alman Updike, and we're the hosts of This Podcast Will Kill You on Exactly Right.
We're back with our seventh season, which is bigger and better than ever.
Because guess what? We're now a weekly show.
This season, we're tackling everything from long COVID to norovirus, from the supplement industry to IVF, and so, so much more.
New episodes drop every single Tuesday.
Follow This Podcast Will Kill You wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you leaving or are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date, terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
With Karen and Chris.
Welcome to Do You Need a Ride? This is Chris Fairbanks.
And this is Karen Kilgariff.
We are driving. This is, I don't know where the boundary is, but we're right in the middle of Echo Park and Silver Lake. Silver Lake Boulevard. And it is the area featured in the movie Training Day. It is my neighborhood, and I love it.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
Yeah.
This is where all the beautiful hip people are, and all the, you know...
Yeah.
All the, where the action is.
Yeah, I didn't know that when I was leaving Venice Beach, I was moving somewhere where I'd be confronted by my age, because I feel like I moved to, like, the young, hip part of town.
Yeah. Yeah.
But as you can tell, I've adjusted accordingly. And I hipped it up.
You've definitely stopped crying about it, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah. I've started cuffing my pants.
You've dried your eyes.
I quit crying because I was getting tears in the cuffs of my pants.
Yeah.
And yeah, everyone's like, oh, that guy, he's one of our peers. He's our age. They don't know I have all these creams at home that I put on my face.
Right. You've tricked them all.
And look, the pedestrians dance on street corners to themselves.
Everybody's TikToking around, ready to be on camera.
This neighborhood is filled with music.
And laughter.
Yes. It's the joyous area.
There's the children at a little school.
Yeah. And you can hear their laughs off in the distance every morning. That's my rooster.
I used to live in this neighborhood, very close to where we are, and hearing school bells is actually kind of a fun way to mark time if you're home on a this one, right? No, next one.
And
this one, next one.
It will if you had
it's
fun.
This one.
It's this one. This right. is a street. Yeah, school bells, you know, they get mixed reviews. It's however you were traumatized or not traumatized as a child.
Right. And if you work in and out of the home, in or out of the home.
Or, yeah. Or like me, if you spent years ringing a bell for a living.
Oh, you were Santa Claus?
Yeah, yeah. I rang bells for the Salvation Army. Is that Reggie's house? He's having some work done.
Wow, that's a lot of work.
That's a nice patio, though.
I thought it was a pier.
Yeah, that's
But I could
just,
be wrong.
No, yeah, you're right. I randomly picked a house, so I think you're probably right.
Is that the number we're looking for? Yeah, I think.
Reggie Watts, our guest today, has little windows in his vents. Look at that.
You can't say that.
Oh, right. Reggie Watts has a fence. And I will describe it no further.
His garbage cans are all the same as everybody else's?
I'm very, yes, there's nothing that is describable about this place.
No.
Yes.
Except that it used to be my neighborhood. This is where Pete and I lived, five doors down, and it's a great neighborhood, except for the police helicopters at night.
What are your thoughts on the band Three Doors Down?
I can't remember.
Nor can I. And like most people, you try and conjure a tune by them and you come up with Third Eye Blind.
I feel that's automatically what happens every time.
Yeah, yeah, no one can remember. Oh, no, Three Doors Down was Will You Still Call Me Superman?
Oh.
Ooh, it's so funny. Everyone's fascination with Superman. People like Seinfeld, adult men in a Superman shirt is something you still see often.
True, true.
And, oddly enough, a Superman shirt on a man is kryptonite to the ladies.
Ironically,
<yeah. laughs> isn't it ironic?
Don't you think?
There is. I wonder if Alanis feels bad that she didn't know what the word meant when writing that song, because she does now.
She sure does.
It takes a while, though, in her defense, to understand irony is a complicated thing. People confuse it for coincidence.
Well, yeah, and also I think when you're writing a song like that, you just kind of get carried away with the vibe you're coming out with.
Yeah, the studio vibe.
You just don't give a shit that nothing's tracking, really.
Yeah.
Grammatically. Let's see if we're...
Speaking of tracking...
I've never put on my blinkers before. Are you seeing it?
Oh, wow. It's just on the little iPad. It's like you're being forced to work on the computer while you drive.
Yeah.
Can you get Photoshop on this?
Yeah, I've actually put your head on top of the Three Doors Down album, and it is...
I knew, because I always bring that band up.
And you love them?
Oh.
You love to reference them?
I want something else to get me through this semi-charm type of life, baby, baby. Just lyrics? Do we get sued for just lyrics?
No, I think we can talk out lyrics. Jim, let us know. Jim is the lawyer who clears all our music songs.
There is an image of your dash that is very realistic and all white, and it appears to suggest we're being gassed right now.
Yeah, like very lightly, though.
Yes, just a light, refreshing gas.
Just very beautiful, and then it gets more intense when you turn the number up.
Stop describing my farts! I always turn to a child.
You just like it, that's all.
I like looking back on life and remembering the way my brain worked back then. And I'm nostalgic for it, so I'm very immature.
You don't ever have to look back. You can live...
In the now?
In the now with
in
your
the child that I am now?
Fart now, is what I'm saying. When I lived here, that house wasn't here. Like, many of these houses have been flipped beautifully.
Yeah, that house looks like they finished it last week.
Yeah. Really nice.
It's interesting. I always, it's one of those things I like to look at. Just knowing full well, I probably won't own one anytime soon. I'm okay with that, though.
I mean, no one can these days.
I like
fucking insane.
The freedom of knowing that I can pick up and leave my apartment whenever I want. If, you know, the
Something,
opportunity.
If need be.
If need be. If
You're a traveling man.
I'm a lot like an international spy in that way.
Yeah.
I have nothing holding me back from just going to Berlin.
Except your little yellow hat. It's just very high res.
This little hat is my favorite hat, Karen.
No, I'm just saying for a spy.
Yes. Oh, yeah, yeah. You can't be wearing bright colors. As we know, the spies dabble mostly in earth tones.
They have to. They have to blend.
Yeah, with the foliage and the mauve of the sky.
I like the hat, though. It looks good.
Thank you. I wasn't, I guess I was kind of forcing a compliment, but I appreciate it.
Oh, that's okay.
It's from the Sub Pop store in the Seattle airport.
Uh-oh.
Mm-hmm, I went there. I didn't even have a flight.
You just shopped at the airport and
yep.
left.
Let's see what new release books there are and what cassette tapes they have.
Smart.
But it is a beautiful store.
Sub Pop really reigned supreme, like in the late 90s, early aughts, in a way that they deserve to have an airport store now.
Yeah, and you people always, when I would wear the hat given to me by one of the members of Sleater-Kinney.
No.
Yeah, not... personally. It was in a bag.
Janet, the drummer?
I'm not... I think maybe... Yes.
Did she have a really good bob, like a very solid bangs across?
I don't know. I think she was wearing a little yellow hat.
Did she have hair like yours? A little curly, a little like...
Again, multiple hats every day at this adult podcast camp. But there was a swag bag from Sub Pop.
And yeah. Oh, she got it.
And then I'm like, what bands are still on Sub Pop? Isn't that a thing of the past? No. So many current great bands are still on Sub Pop records.
I think you
should go check it out, listener.
Yeah, let's all support them.
Yeah.
There's a girl from Sub Pop right now.
Yeah.
No joke. I think Reggie just pulled into his own driveway. Am I wrong? Look.
I believe.
Someone did. That's hilarious.
What if we just thwarted a burglary?
A burglary.
I think we just thwarted a burglary. Oh, God, that burglary was in progress until we thwarted it.
This burglar pulls up right to the Nest camera and is like, hey, if you didn't get my license plate before, I'm right in the driveway.
You know why they're unsuccessful? Bright yellow burglar mask.
See, I told you.
Yeah.
It's not good for crime.
No, you gotta go black. What if he comes in and Reggie's super mad?
That's just a whole new vibe from Reggie Watts that people have never gotten.
I've known him pretty well. We do shows together on Christmas in Montana. We're both from Montana.
He's a fellow Montanan?
Yes, and I have never seen the emotion of anger near him. Not even near him, which means he doesn't emit it and no one puts it towards him.
Huh.
Yeah, he doesn't have a lot of anger in his life.
And he speaks multiple languages, which I think is really cool.
French, German, American.
American English, British English.
There's some Spanish in there also. And there are times in his act where, until I saw the info sheet, I thought he was just speaking a language like gibberish that sounded like French when he would, and now I know, he's just speaking fluent French.
Oh, wow.
During his act. I've seen him do, when he does songs during shows, German, like, metal. And it sounds like a song.
That's not him standing on the street way back behind us, is it?
It's funny because you're pointing, I guess, at a reflection. You're pointing at the mirror. I really thought you were pointing at that
just
fence.
Right there.
That's not him standing within the wood grain of that fence, is it?
I'm like, Karen, you're hallucinating.
You took drugs again. I'm told you. Podcasting, not going to cook.
Is he in the wood of the fence?
Here we go again. No, that's an owl.
Stop it.
The only face you will ever find.
You just texted back.
Okay. Yeah. Perfect.
In a grain of wood is an owl.
I looked out my own rearview mirror instead of trying to look at it in yours, and that is... Absolutely not. I think that's a middle-aged white lady, what I was looking at.
Oh, yes. There's a lot of just people roaming around the car because they're impressed with how well you keep it up.
For a black car, it's pretty clean.
Yeah, there isn't a speck of dirt, that group over there is saying.
Hip, all cool.
Yeah. Well, if I've ever gotten stink eye from anyone, it was that lady.
It was that...
This is
young
her.
Supermodel.
Yeah, there are pretty much any part of town, though. You're going to run into this town is lousy with supermodels.
And also people that if you get the stink eye from anybody in Los Angeles and it makes you feel bad, go ahead and look at their license plate. That person was from New Mexico. So the problem is their own.
Right.
And we must leave it where it is.
Right.
With them.
The main problem being they're hiding so many UFOs.
They're lying to the government and they're lying to themselves.
I was driving with David Huntsberger in New Mexico after Doug Mellard's wedding to our friend Flynn and his wife now after the wedding. And we just ended up on the UFO, the Philadelphia Project.
Oh,
remember
yeah.
that movie? With
the, sure.
I vaguely remember it. But there were soldiers with guns and giant hangers, and we're like, what's in there? UFOs? And he said, maybe. And which I take as a yes. Yeah. If a guy with a gun says maybe, you know, he's just beating around the bush.
Yeah, he's actually telling you the truth.
Yeah, yeah. So you heard it here first. Confirmation. Aliens are real and living in New Mexico, and they send very symmetrical humans here to be photographed professionally.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Yeah.
Are you saying, like, show business people?
No, I'm saying the girl that just drove by that we thought was a model is actually an alien.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
you can tell because they're very symmetrical. Aliens overdo it when they make humans and plant them on Earth. They make them very symmetrical. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And kind of hypnotic.
They got a beauty mark on this cheek. Bam. It's also on the other cheek.
Bam.
Yeah.
That's just two big moles. It's weird when you're waiting because any moment, he could come any moment, and mm-hmm. it affects the conversation that
right.
we're having.
You and I don't want to get into anything deep.
Yeah, I feel like I'm three quarters listening, which yeah. I apologize for.
No, no. All I'm doing is tossing out a bunch of foul balls. Because if I hit a homer...
What a waste.
And Reggie gets in. It's like, can you give us a minute?
Yeah, this is...
Because we have to finish.
We're having a private moment yeah, that's, of this, comedy.
This, you know...
That's bad hosting.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
You got to keep everything very temporary, yeah. very flippant.
You got to keep it flexible mm-hmm. and fresh. And the thing you love to yell, you got to keep it loose. Right?
I like to yell that.
Keep it loose.
Yeah, I like to yell it at joggers as I pass them. They immediately start stretching. Keep it loose.
Keep it loose.
You silly goose. They love it.
Yeah.
No one's offended when called a silly goose.
You know when they're offended is when you shush them.
Yes. No one likes that. Mm-mm. Especially when you extend your arm and touch your finger to their lips.
You physically shush with your finger them.
Yes. Do not physically shush with your finger them.
Them won't like it.
Them don't. Well, are we sure we're at the right house that I've described in detail, which we've edited out?
I looked at it in... Google 3D maps mm-hmm. and literally counted the houses between my old house and his house. Mm-hmm. So I feel like if it's not this house, it's this house because so he will either be coming out heat from here or from there.
Well, I'm currently flying a drone and looking at the video. And man, your car is immaculate.
Even from the top?
Mm-hmm. But I'm very excited.
Me
very
too.
Very excited.
I was on the phone with Danielle yesterday morning. Danielle mm-hmm. Kramer, she runs Exactly Right.
She's the COO.
She is the, that's right. And yeah. she, oh, is that house? No.
They have an electronic door. Oh, I guess that's pretty normal.
Yeah,
that was invented
standard.
In the mid-80s.
Kind of standard.
Yeah. Not where I come from.
And in Danielle's backyard, she and I are talking, going over our morning call, and then she goes, ugh, there's a drone in my backyard. And there's just like a drone hovering over her yard.
Yeah, it's frightening to me that we've just gotten used to that.
That's so weird.
Because most of them have video capabilities.
It's not okay.
No. Because you know the person flying that, they got one hand on the remote and the other man, I'm not even going to mention where the other hand is.
You don't have to. We're talking about drones.
Yeah. It's in their pocket searching for money to buy a better drone is
here
all
he
I'm
comes.
Saying. And here we are at the perfect ending of yeah. whatever we were talking
of
about.
Of that amazing riff jam. Yeah.
Good morning.
Yes.
Good morning.
Hi, I'm Jacques Christus.
Hello, I told you he spoke French.
Reggie Watts.
Hello, Reggie.
Hey, good morning.
Clasp my phalanges as I offer them to you, because we are friends.
Hi, oh. Michael Falangio.
Thank you for calling me by my new stage name. In the car now is our friend, Reggie Watts. Hello, Reggie.
Hi, I'm Reggie.
How are you, buddy?
I'm really good.
Reggie, can I just tell you, and sorry to interrupt you, Chris,
no.
really quick.
Yeah. You know I was going nowhere.
I used to live in this apartment right here, in this...
In the black thing?
In this black building.
Oh, whoa, with the black
yes.
SUV.
It was me and Anton LaVey. We lived there and worshiped the devil.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
God, what a gothic
Grace Zabriskie.
goth adobe.
And if you watched Twin Peaks, Laura Palmer's mother, Grace Zabriskie, just walked out of her house. She lives right across the street.
Whoa.
Yes.
Wait, you
I
just
have
saw
no idea.
Yes,
Grace Zabriskie?
Yes, she lived there when I lived there, and she would never acknowledge me or talk to me. Her husband would say hi, and they were both obsessed with my cat. And my cat would go and lay on their patio, and it was almost like we shared a cat a little bit. And then one time she told me about a documentary she went and saw. Other than that, it was like I didn't exist, and that was fine with me because I love Grace Zabriskie.
The great Zabriskie.
Also an amazing magician.
Yeah, that's true. The great Zabriskie. That's awesome. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Insane. I love that little, you don't know who lives in this goddamn neighborhood.
I know, right? it's so specific.
Do you think that person with the black house got painted their house black after the Jeep, or the Jeep came second? Because you know that one was in response.
I think it definitely was it was to match the Jeep.
Yeah.
They were moving in and they were like, if that's going to be parked in the driveway, which it's going to be, then we need to.
It would be crazy to me if the Jeep was another color, as was the house, and he painted both black because his fingernails were painted black.
Yeah.
I would like the fingernails to come
first.
Oh,
yeah, 100%.
Is this your friend?
Yeah, that's Cleb Martinson.
I love Cleb Martinson.
No.
Reggie is the best at confidently giving no information to where it sounds like there definitely is information, and if you didn't, it's just you're not paying attention.
It's,
you missed it.
That's pure truth.
And Cleb is what kind of a name? What
Cleb Martinson?
Yeah,
Cleb Martinson.
Yeah,
he's
Cleb.
Yes.
Yeah, he's it's Cleb. Sorry, how do you say it? Clebradaya. Is the
oh,
full
shit,
name.
You're going in there. Okay, but you're taking up the whole street, so what would you like me to
would
do?
You like,
yeah.
Let's just go beyond each other.
Super.
Let's go beyond each other.
Yeah.
Great.
Well,
have you ever driven on the street before?
I think we all know that it was the street.
Yeah.
Fault.
Yeah,
it was definitely street fault.
I'm not going to say it because we're on a street with no name.
Street fault.
Street fault. Whose is it?
Oh, GBY Beauty, finally.
Reggie, I've always wanted to ask, how, speaking of confidently speaking gibberish, how many TED Talks have you done? Was it just the one I love?
Well, I have the main TED one I did, and then I did TEDx, Mid-Atlantic, TEDx Full Spectrum, and TEDx Doha.
Oh, you've done multiple.
And TEDx Berlin.
I wonder which one, because I've only seen one and it blew me away.
What was it about, may I ask?
Exactly.
Well, they're all just me fucking around on stage.
Really?
So it's like, yeah, they're not really about anything. But, you know, it's just me. Just on stage.
Yes.
Talking about whatever I think I'm talking about.
But you were so good, and I've always seen you be good at this, but so good at transitioning from one character who's not really saying anything to another. And you were morphing into different people. It was so great.
Yeah, I'm so good at it. Sometimes people call me Morph Hamill. Oh, by the way, the salt and straw on Sunset.
Ice cream, isn't it?
It looks like a fucking TGI Fridays. Like, the design of it. It just looks like, it's so terrible. I can't believe it. I'm like, every time I look at it, I'm like, someone consciously decided that that's going to be appetizing to the people of Silver Lake, which it is not.
Are they doing, like, license plates on the wall and shiplap and stuff?
I don't know. They should be. Oh, yeah, look at that kush.
Before it opened, or right when they opened, I was walking by and someone flagged me down and said, would you like some ice cream? And I thought, I'm like, well, surely I'll have to pay for it.
Yeah.
No. I tried so many different varieties.
Whoa.
And they refused to take my money.
At Salts and Straws?
Yes, at Salts and as well as Straws.
Wow.
I got a ticket in Larchmont. for overstaying my welcome in my parking spot. And I also got a second ticket. And when I opened it up, it was Salt and Straw saying, we're sorry you got a ticket. Here's a thing for a free ice cream.
Are you kidding me? Are you serious?
Yeah. Isn't that good, like, marketing kind of friend making?
How did they, do they approach the city? And they're like, we want to have coupons on your tickets. And they're like, okay.
No, it was a separate living ticket.
Oh.
Because it basically happened in front of their store. So maybe that's some awesome idea somebody came up with of, like, people are so bummed when they get a ticket, and so then we can kind of, like, empathize with them.
Yeah, they're making your day.
Yeah, and say, hey, once again, cope with food. And I'm like, hell yes, I will. Watch me do it.
Wow. That's a very interesting marketing tactic.
Yeah.
Reggie, how much longer do you have as the band leader on the current television program you're working on?
I have zero.
Zero, it's over.
Yeah, it's been over for a month now.
How's free life working?
Yeah.
It's well, I'm really stoked that it's, I don't have to go there anymore.
Yeah.
For sure. I love that feeling. But it's also, you know, a little terrifying about, like, well, what's next? You know, what's the next thing? I'm, you know, pitching some stuff, but you know how that usually goes. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, in the meantime, I'm touring a lot and stuff like that.
That's what I wanted the answer to be.
Yeah.
I just want everyone to do stand up.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, totally. Yeah.
That's what I want everyone to do. I hope you keep pitching and nothing happens.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes.
That's so sweet.
Yeah, of course.
No, I get it. I get it. I get it. And I understand it too. That's the thing. I totally understand it.
I was telling Chris, because very briefly, for like 1 month, I worked there and watched you do your thing. And I was telling him how much I liked watching you have to do a real, like, kind of arguably traditional, like, band leader job, and then yet completely were yourself and kept your own style and kind of kept your own space, which I think is a hard thing to do. And I always just, like, watched you going, like, oh, cool, because you're, like, you know, it's not the same as Comedy Bang Bang. It's, like, it's almost like the official CBS version or whatever, but you still were you and so hilarious, and I just thought it was cool.
Oh, well, thanks. Yeah, it was fun. It was cool that they were just like, yeah, go for it.
Yeah.
And we're okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm aware that that's not a normal way of proceeding, but it was also kind of...
Oh, oh, sorry.
Telephone.
Can I take this call?
Paige, no, Paige Hunwitz.
Not to be childish again, but I just launched my new flatulence.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, we were talking about my old one being childish.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, and this one's more adult contemporary. So excuse me.
Wow, that's cool.
Thank you.
And it's also, like, way more palatable.
Thank you. Yeah, yeah.
Which I enjoy. I enjoy things. Well, I just enjoy things.
Thank you. Yeah, I've always accused you of someone who enjoyed things.
Yeah. You're correct, and I love it.
Where have you been doing stand-up?
I've been doing a lot of just lineup shows. Like, I'm doing two shows tonight, one at Dynasty and one somewhere else.
I noticed you were at the Comedy Store the other night. Is that somewhere you rarely, like me, have performed?
The Comedy Store is, like, very rare for me to perform at. I think I've only performed once in the smaller room, so it was my first time playing in the big room. But also, that lineup was just insane.
Yeah, I appreciated that you appreciated that lineup.
Yeah.
Because to me, you were one of the biggest stars on it. But I see the world
more realistically.
Who was on that show? Tiffany? Our friend Tiffany?
Yeah, Tiffany Haddish and David Spade and Mark Maron.
So there was, I guess there was some people that have done some things.
And then, Dane Cook, which was interesting. And,
really?
Yeah. He was, I guess, the headliner. He was the last guy. And then, who snuck out? Oh, Pauly Shore snuck in.
So. Oh.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's like all the directions comedy went.
I know.
I know.
It's all the 90s. It's like all the 90s, like, legendary you know, comedians. Well, I guess Maron would have been a little bit later. He would have been like 2000s, but...
No, when I think of Maron...
Oh, no, he's been working since 87.
Yeah, I think of him in a flowered cowboy shirt talking to Johnny Carson.
Like, you're right. Yeah, because he used to work the door at the comedy store in 87.
Wow. How do you know that?
Because he told me.
Okay, that's a good way to
That's
get
the only way I know.
Always... Whenever I've been in the room with Pauly Shore, I want to tell him that my dad wrote jokes for his dad, but it never comes out of my mouth because it seems like...
What was his dad's name?
Nert Burfler. No, Shore.
Oh, really?
Sammy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, who started the Comedy Store, but I guess...
Sam Kinison?
Sammy Kinison Shore.
Okay.
And he'd put on the trench coat and no one knew.
Started hanging out with Whitesnake?
Yes. Yeah. He is in the Whitesnake video, isn't he?
Yeah, I think he is.
I just think that's so cool, but I still don't let him know, because why would I? It just seems like I'm bragging about my dad again.
Yeah, and he'd probably just kind of like look at you weird.
Yeah, maybe.
That is a place sometimes where people let you down, where you're like, hey, we have a connection. And then they're just like, yeah, I don't care.
Yeah, totally.
That's very LA, where you're just like,
that's very common.
Okay.
Well, it's like when people give up on the notion of, man, the guy has such a specialized transport vehicle.
Yes.
It's like a child.
It's not a baby.
Three-wheeler. And then it's got like, he's got a walking cane. But the walking cane, he made a custom loop at the base of it so that he can just put it through the handles and it just like holds it there perfectly. Anyway.
He's got his day all planned out.
Yeah. He's done that before.
Yeah, he has. And he's doing it right now. Yeah, that happens a lot. There's like kind of a little bit of a bitterness sometimes that comes with what I call like the mid-90s road dogs.
Yeah.
It was just a different way of being on the road. Maybe it still exists or whatever, you know, like just like comedians doing stand-up, writing jokes, surviving gig to gig, and kind of like being a little too competitive or quasi-hostile to one another.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That was the vibe then. That's how Karen talks about it all the time, the mid-90s competitive vibe. There's even at the Green Room in San Antonio, I remember Pauly Shore had written something scathing. I can't remember what it was. But then years later, there was an apology that he wrote next to it. Like, sorry, guys, I was going through a lot at this point, which I actually appreciated.
That's funny.
He's like, I don't even know what I meant by saying this.
But up on the wall?
Yeah, on the wall that everyone signs.
Yep.
There was his mean-spirited thing and then an apology 15 years later.
That's progress.
Yeah. Comedy has progressed.
Man, yeah. Those clubs are, I always get so nervous whenever I'm like doing like a, you know, like a traditional stand-up club.
Yeah.
I'm always like, ugh, okay, all right. Because because like usually, and most of the time I kind of view what I do on stage is I'm kind of doing whatever, but then there are moments when I go into... I'm doing an impression of a stand-up comedian.
Right,
right. You know? Like, I'm using all the kind of the timing mechanisms, cadence, all that stuff. And so I lean more heavily on that in a comedy.
Yeah.
In a comedy place, because it's just, I don't know. It just, it makes me feel a little bit more comfortable because I'm like, well, they'll understand this.
Yeah.
And also at the store, would you be able to set up any equipment?
Yeah, I could do that. Yeah, for sure, in the future. I was thinking, but it's like the sets were too short. It's
right.
Like, my thing is like if it's 15 minutes or less, it's not worth me coming up and setting up my stuff. If it's like a weirdo comedy night, then maybe. Because it's not that hard to set up. I just have to rush up there and then quickly unplug the mic and then plug it into a DI and then I'm ready to go. And then also probably have a stool. But usually there's always a stool in comedy, so that always works out.
Yeah, yeah, the stool comes with it.
It's like you have to have that stool.
Well, I love traditional stand-up, Reggie Watts.
Yeah, it's fun. But the thing that you do, that I do notice that I can do, I can be a lot more, because I'm doing stuff that, because I can kind of go down a wild, you know, rabbit shoot. they tend to, like, weirdly kind of sometimes appreciate kind of weirder shit.
Yes.
As long as it's not too weird. Like, if it gets, you can lose people if it gets too weird. You have to, you know, you have to just be careful. But I got lucky, like when I got up on stage, this guy, he was sitting at a table right in front, or husband, wife, I assume, and he had this coin on the table. And I was like, I went over to one lady and acted like she was my friend, and I was like, thank you for coming in. It was really difficult, whatever. And then I go over to the other side of the stage, and there's this couple sitting there with a piece of paper, and it has, looks like a certificate, and then there was a coin on it. I was like, well, there's like a certificate on there. It's like, what's that coin for? And the guy was like, AA. And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. He just brings it with him.
Yeah, I'm just like, American Airlines. Pretty cool. And then I don't
want 10 years of American Airlines.
Celebrating American Airlines. It was so cool. It just like so worked out. Everybody was losing it.
That's great.
It was great. Like, hey, American Airlines.
I wonder why he had it out. Is that to avoid the 2-drink minimum?
Maybe it's there to remind him, like, not to get the drink or something, you know, because it's like, I don't know if it's like because of Mark or, you know, is it like maybe Mark has a sober follower?
Right. Oh, yeah. Will you sign my chip?
Yeah, well, sign my chip. Sign my chips. Sign my chips. It's like, Ruffles, nice. Yeah, I don't know. But there seemed to be some kind of a sober faction there.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Ish.
I had Mark sign and empty my last bottle of whiskey. Empty.
Oh, that's fucking fantastic.
Yeah, I stopped drinking, Reggie.
Oh, you did? When did you stop?
About 5 months ago.
Oh, my gosh.
So it's too early to be bragging about it.
Are you like full sober or Cali sober?
Full.
Full. Nice.
But I still eat chicken.
Okay.
See, that's just
one. That's a good one.
I'm reminding you of my specific brand.
Are you getting ready to go to the Comedy Store yourself?
Yeah. Just put it on the note. You have that. I see you have that notepad with the stool. So yeah. Just like write it on the notepad.
If the chip guy is sitting in the front again.
Yeah. Or I guess you could set it up. You could have a friend sit there. It's like a plant.
I had
do a play.
Yeah.
I hadn't even met you yet. I'd only seen you at like UCB, and we were both in Vegas for some festival. I think it's where they had the Andy Kaufman Award or something.
Oh yeah, that was a stupid idea, but yeah.
But I remember you being interviewed by someone and just overheard you as I was walking past say that you're from Montana. And then I looked at you because I already knew who you were as a Los Angeles comedian.
Yeah.
And I flashed to an image. I still don't know if it's something I conjured or not, but I remember you as a young person in Great Falls, and I still don't know where I would have ever met you because I'd go there to skateboard. And I know that at some point I saw you or met you in Great Falls, Montana when I was 16. Or something.
Yes. I mean, that sounds because you know a lot of my.
Yes.
We have some similar crossover.
Yeah, yeah. Your good friend there.
Oh, yeah,
is
JJ.
The older brother. Yeah, who is Jeff now?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you call him JJ, it's like spitting in his face.
I probably might be able to get it. We'll see. I'll give it a shot.
Call him right now.
If I see him, I'm going to call him JJ. Yeah. And I know if you know him as JJ.
Yeah. Well, because I think the reason why he doesn't want to go by JJ. Is because he hated J.J. Walker.
Right,
character. No, just kidding. Could you imagine? I don't like that very tall African-American man.
Yeah. Things are not dynamite.
Yeah, things are indeed not dynamite.
They're not dynamite.
I like dynamite, but not dynamite. Sorry.
And... apology accepted.
Yeah, totally.
And then you and I got booked over a decade ago at the same venue on purpose. It wasn't like a double booking, like, what are we going to do? I guess get to know each other.
Yeah, right.
And then it's become a tradition.
That's right. I know. Yeah, they just kind of paired it up, right? Is that what the deal was?
Yeah, yeah. All of my memories are vague, you know, because of that empty whiskey bottle I mentioned.
I get.
But now Reggie and I do... a show around Christmas in Missoula every year, and it's become...
That'd be a great show.
It is the funnest.
It's so cool. Yeah. It's really cool. And last time we did Bozeman and Missoula.
Yes.
Which was great.
Yeah, and it was the best.
Great Falls. Yeah. Great Falls was tough because it was like 28 below and shit. And it was insane.
And I, as you recall, did not go.
No.
Because I was worried about driving in that weather.
Not making it. Because yes. You have to come back.
Yes.
You know, it's not
yeah.
like...
Yeah.
There's no flights inside of Montana because that would be too convenient.
When did you move to Great Falls?
1976.
So most of your life you were there.
Yeah, I was there from age 4 to 16.
But prior to that?
Or 4 to 18.
List all the places you lived, because your father was Air Force guy, right?
My father was in the force of the air.
Yes. Space Force.
He was a space forester.
Yeah,
this guy is just like, he's like, I'm just going to take your spot.
Just
sorry.
Real slow and steady.
Yeah.
Get in there, buddy.
I always do the... bumper to bumper, you're not getting the fuck in there because you're dumb. You should get the car behind you, get the space behind me.
Yeah,
see, that's how it feels. I'm already ahead of you, so that means get the space behind me.
Yeah.
Jerk.
It's logic, but go ahead.
Yeah,
this
but
is
whatever.
Los Angeles.
Yeah, well, yeah, plus we're filming a podcast.
Yes.
I want to seem chill and accessible.
Yes.
But with a camera crew in
chill accessible.
Chill
yeah.
Chill-sessible.
Yeah.
Summer 2023.
Dude, I'm fully chill-sessible. Ask me whatever.
You know me. I let everybody merge.
Yeah. I don't care. I'm just like, you know, I'll get there. As long
I
as gestures I get there.
For her to merge and she has her own lane.
I know.
Yeah. This person doesn't.
I use the Euro thing for when you communicate for someone to do something, which is the double high beam, like just like chick chick like
oh.
that, and they're like, oh, that means go ahead. But and some people get it, and then sometimes I do it and people just they just keep doing what they're doing, and I'm like, oh, they must have thought I wanted to use my turn signal but then didn't last minute and then kind of had a cramp and just went like you know, like real quick, and they're like, that was a mistake.
Or they just think you're a truck driver warning them of police being around the
oh,
corner.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, that is true. Yeah, like, slow down, man. I just saw some police.
Yeah, I always appreciate
guy
that.
Guy radioed me back behind and told me there's a...
there's a brown bear on your back door.
There's a brown bear. It's either there's a brown bear at your on your back porch.
Oh.
Or there's a cop up ahead. And it's hard to know which, but there's usually a spacing, the gap between the two flashes, that'll tell you.
Yeah, yeah, it's hard. You have to count it down.
Yeah, you're just like, one, that's two. Okay, all right. Hey, man, what's up? Can you check my house? Because there's... It's like, no, I'm not going to check your house for a bear.
Like, do
oh,
it.
Oh, I forgot that someone might not want to do that. Okay, I'll call someone else.
I'll call my bear friend.
Yeah, totally, my bear friend.
Yeah, when we did that show in Montana and you did the... You probably don't remember when you improvised an entire song. That's what's amazing about your act, but also must be... Is it ever frustrating that you couldn't recreate that Smokey the Bear? You did a riff... He did a song about camping, pack in what you pack out.
Oh, yeah.
It was the most genius moment, and... That's what's so cool about your act is it's like, yeah, you have to see it in this moment because it's not happening again. Do you even remember what you were?
Jesus, no, I don't.
So great.
I mean, I kind of remember it because I always allude to something about that.
Sure. In the lyrics, there were things that were talking points for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That I like talking about when I'm in Montana because it's like, well, here's my opportunity to talk about, you know, outdoor etiquette.
Yeah, yeah.
Finally.
Yeah, finally. Because these Angelinos know nothing.
Yeah, yeah. It's all just pent up outdoor knowledge that you got to spit out when you're up in Montana.
It's like, what's a pine cone?
Yeah, this whole city doesn't even know what a pine cone is.
Those aren't real. They have googly eyes on them. It's like,
no.
No.
You're thinking of arts and crafts as a child.
Yeah. Jesus.
The first time I saw you, Reggie, was at Bridgetown, and we were on the same show. There were people, and maybe you were one of them, smoking pot backstage.
Oh, shit.
And
sorry.
I got
sorry to help you, buddy.
Please
sorry.
Don't apologize.
Yee.
I got the best contact high. It was like just enough to go on stage with and have it be fun. Like it was this really good
amazing.
Waiting backstage contact high. But when I watched you, because I had heard your name, but I'd never actually gotten to see you, I didn't understand what was happening for a while. And you started singing a song about how the moisture in the air causes your magazines to get moldy. And I was like, what? This is the best song I've ever heard. And then it was like that delay where I'm like, oh, he's making this up off the top of his head.
Yeah.
Like, it took me such a long time. It was the funniest. Oh,
it is your ability to convince people that you know exactly what you're doing in those moments where you absolutely don't have a plan. It's no one else.
And the music is beautiful.
Yeah.
Like that song about the moisture in the air molding things was like almost like heart-wrenchingly beautiful. Where you're like, what's happening?
Yeah.
It's great.
Oh, thanks. It's a fun mode to go into on stage for me. It's
The song, your Smokey the Bear camping song, I would have on my iTunes.
Oh, God. If, maybe, you know, it might have been, when was it? Was it this last one time?
No, it was like three Christmases
three
ago.
Christmases ago.
It just stands. It was the same show where you just went into industrial German, like skinny puppy type music.
Yeah.
Rammstein, more.
Yes.
Yeah. And I've never even seen you dip your toe into that world, so it was the best.
That's awesome. That's always a fun thing to pull out because people are really not. Like, I did actually at the Comedy Store this last couple days ago. I started like, the audience for some reason, when I started doing like a rhythmic thing towards the end, I didn't have my gear up there, but I was doing like a little beatboxy thing or whatever. And people started clapping along, and I was like, oh no, that's the worst, because they can't keep time.
Right.
And you know, just collectively, they're not great at it. But then I was like, oh, fuck it, I'll just go off their tempo, you know? And then I like suggested what the vibe of the song was, which was like a little bit, I started going into like, you know, like rock guitar things that were like, whatever, and people were like clapping. And then I just started over, I was like,
Oh, God, that's right up my alley.
This is the Comedy Store.
I love it. Oh, God.
That was great. I love that shit.
Yeah, when the time I saw you do it in Montana, I really thought you were doing it for me.
That is my
favorite.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Oh, gosh.
It's just the best, because it's like when people are just normal, they're just used to you being a particular way. That's part of like what my whole show is just... all comedy is subverting expectation, but it's like I really rely on it heavily sometimes. When people get really comfortable, they're like, okay, I know what this guy is doing, and then just don't, then just take a 170 degree turn, and it's like, what? To start all over again.
I know,
I'm sorry, guys.
Guys, I need to test your boundaries.
Yeah, sorry.
I really love the idea of changing the rhythm of your song to the bad clapping, because there's crowd clapping makes me so mad anytime it starts where I'm like, it's not your place. You don't know how to do it.
Yep.
Like, no crowd has ever done it correctly, I don't think.
Yeah.
No, it's just hard because you have a mixture of varying abilities, and the aggregation of it is generally not very good. However, certain populations, you know, like I've been to, you know, if you did it in Brazil, I'm sure it would be no problem.
True. There are people who are kind of pay attention to it better, maybe.
Yeah, they're just, their society incorporates rhythm all the time. Like, I bet you South America would be easy.
Yeah.
You know, but there's just, you know, the more north you go, the less, there's just like, there's just too much like, I don't know, I kind of like music, you know, like that kind of a vibe. I love Boss Gags, you know, or whatever.
And also the excitement of, now I'm in the show, that you're not focusing on your job of keeping time. You're just kind of like, we're excited. And it's like, that's not the same kind of clapping.
No. It's not.
Yeah, just last night on my pocket computer, I saw a video of Harry Connick Jr. playing a song, and the audience was off with the clapping, and so he adjusted the song to it, and you see him match it.
Oh,
and
my
I don't
God.
Know much about
I love that.
Time signatures, and I've said that before.
Yes.
Today, even.
Yes.
Thank you for that, by the way. I appreciate it.
I don't know.
You have the hat.
I announce what I don't know of, and time signatures are one of them. But I could tell that he slowed down his song, and you see it sync up with the audience clapping, and then you could see them as they're clapping kind of congratulating themselves because they thought they got into the rhythm, but really, he adjusted for them.
Yeah, that's so true.
Yeah.
It's so tough when they, oh man, what was it? I was maybe the Late Late Show or something like that where they told people not to clap. Mm. When music is happening, because it ruins the edit.
And, yeah.
And also, it just kind of sucks for the performer. Because they, it's like you can do, if as long as it's like a simple thing, like doon, 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 you know, if it's like something like that, and the people on stage are kind of, you know, the performers are moving in a big gesture that's like showing the time, right. Then people can usually hang in there. But it's very rare that I've ever, I'm like, oh yeah, there it is. They've totally locked into it.
Yeah.
Not for more than like 6 beats. Think that's, and then it just is like, well, here we go. There's somebody that has to lead a little bit more.
Or at the bottom of the screen, there has to be that little bouncing red ball.
Yeah, totally.
To let people know what to do.
Well, at least they were clapping on twos and fours, which generally, when I was at the Late Late Show, when people would clap along, they'd be going on ones and threes, which is like the unfunkiest. beats to clap on.
Right. From what I know about time signatures, which is again nothing.
Yeah.
That is frustrating.
That is very frustrating.
For it to be the threes.
Yeah, because it's like one, three, one. And it's so like it's just it's not because like if you're doing like if it's like do 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 and you're doing like do 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 and then you change it to twos and fours do 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 it feels completely different. It's way funkier, way better.
One and three is unnatural. It feels like preschool clapping.
I know it is preschool clapping, but most audiences. That's what they revert to. It's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
because there's always not in Brazil. We got to go down there and study it.
Yeah, we do.
And also there's always like my friend Bradford calls them the dominant psycho, where it's like here we go. Like I know how to do this, and I'm going to lead it, and this is like my moment, and it's probably genuinely.
I think they're enthusiastic.
A good vibe.
Yeah.
It's like, this will help this whole idea.
Yes.
It's like, no, you're going against the idea, actually.
Yeah. No, I definitely don't discount that. I think people really do think they're doing something good. You know,
right.
They're like, I'm participating, and this is fun. And this is what happens. This is a live show. This is what we do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oftentimes, while in an audience, I will take the role of clap fixer.
Oh, you will?
Yeah.
That's so. That's so cool.
Yeah. It's a matter of just...
Do you just raise your hands up?
I cup them so acoustically I become louder, even though I have these tiny little cookie jar
Pause.
Grabbers. I can clap pretty loud if I, I mean, we do it every time we record. You've heard how loud I can clap.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Very
just
true.
To get everything in
the
sync.
Between all the cameras and the audio.
Mm-hmm. Yes, get everything.
But, our full production.
Yeah.
I get it. It looks like you might have a flat tire.
Oh, really?
I know.
Yeah, that is the most ignored logo in my life.
It's my most feared logo.
They even put an exclamation point in this one, and I'm like, you know what? Not my problem.
Yeah. That's true.
Fix it yourself.
Are you renting this?
No.
Is this yours?
It is.
You still think that they are responsible.
I have a real they mentality.
Yeah,
it's like,
I get it.
Why don't my parents fill up the air in my tires type of thinking in middle age?
Yeah, I get it. I get it. And I think that's somehow healthy.
Thank you. I appreciate that. But I think also I've gone to like gas stations to put air in my tires and I'm pretty sure I didn't do anything.
Yeah.
Like I'm not sure how to.
Oh, you think like maybe the sensor's broken?
Or I just don't know. There's a way to do it and I've never been shown that way. So.
I see.
Oh, to reset it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't even know how to do that when I get my oil changed.
Oh,
I have
you
to go back.
Reset the tire warning, tire pressure warning? Yeah.
To get that crazy fucking thing off there where it's like, it's acting like I interpret it as my tire might explode and I'm like, well, that's crazy. I'm ignoring the whole thing.
They shouldn't have used an exclamation point.
Yeah, it's a little bit too, it's just too much. I just have had enough flat tires with my cars, which is such a, I just hate it. It's like, because I have low profile wheels, like tires on both of my cars, and so they're a little bit more prone to getting damaged. And so I'm always just waiting for it. And I'm just like, no. It's just this weird psychological dread.
Also, lately, because we had those crazy storms, there's just fucking potholes everywhere. in this town.
Yeah, it's the only reason to have a four-wheel drive car is for street driving in Los Angeles.
That is true.
You're fine in the mountains without it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so true. Yeah, four-wheel drive is.
But I've ignored every warning light because throughout my whole life, I've always had cars where just lights are on the dash because I jump-started someone once.
Oh, yeah.
And it blew out some fuses, and so now I have a vibrant, colorful dash. But in this car, it's not just the exclamation point. I feel like because it's a nice new car.
Yeah.
When we're done recording, I will go with you. We will.
Yeah. We'll take a look?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I look at the tires, and one doesn't seem any lower than the others or flatter or anything.
Yeah.
But then
you'd be surprised. Like tires, they'll retain their shape, but they'll still be low, which is kind of, yeah. I've noticed on my cars, if the tire's flat, you can barely tell if it's flat.
Oh, wow.
It would have to be like zeroed in order for it to collapse.
Yeah, those low pros.
Yeah, the low pros because they have a tougher sidewall, so the sidewall maintains rigidity longer. But like, on a car like this, you've got like kind of normal wheels, so. You might be able to tell, but...
So kind of, we could be really on the verge of serious danger right now.
There could be some serious, huge, massive danger.
It wouldn't be a do you need a ride? I said, do you need a ride?
Yeah.
Episode without danger.
Right. In here, right? You do what you do, right?
Otherwise, you don't need it.
No, you don't.
Thank you. See, if I had your back every time, Reggie, I would never sound like an idiot.
See? Come on. It takes a village.
Well, I ordered one of those little, it looks like a walkie-talkie, but it fills up tires with air.
Mm.
And on my bike, I'm fine with it. But the minute I hooked it up to my car, all of a sudden this montage of different viral videos I've seen of tires exploding in faces.
Are you serious?
I don't know why I'm scared.
Because I've done that. Well, I have like a bunch of portable compressors, you know, and you just set the amount that you do, and you just like, you know, plug it in or whatever, and you just turn it on and just walk away.
Well, okay. So I just don't need to be. It'll stop.
Stop. Okay. Yeah. As long as you have the kind that like you put in the amount of pressure you want.
Right. Well,
and then you just walk away.
I think the problem with you can choose bike. You can choose frisbee.
That's true.
You know those air filled.
No, you can choose frisbee. Yeah.
Is it because I have it on air filled frisbee?
Yeah,
what
air
is
frisbee.
Happening
it's a film.
To me?
It's a film about a dog that loves frisbee.
You.
Air frisbee. Yeah.
Air frisbee.
Or a German film about an inventor of a magical. Disc.
But I didn't realize I could put it on the car icon and just walk away.
Yeah, totally. That's
I don't need to stare with my face at the tire 6 inches away.
Get your face out of there for sure.
Yeah, I jam it in the wheel well.
And they're so loud. It's like...
This is a little guy. That's why I can't believe it even works.
They're really loud. Yeah, they're so small. They're smaller and smaller, but it just takes them a long time to fill it up. That's why I bought this. I haven't used it yet, but it's a double chambered compressor, so you can't even plug it into a wall. You have to hook it up to your car battery.
Wow.
So you have to put it on your mains. Like even on an electric car, you can access the terminals, and so you just hook it to the terminals.
Really?
and then you fill up your tire. It's like meant for like off-road, you know, vehicles where people depressurize for going off-road, you know, and then they repressurize when they're on the highway again. And so it's fast. You can fill up your tire in like a minute. It's like super fast. That's all I wanted. I was tired of like, and then I like go into my house and I can still, and I'm there for like 10 minutes.
Okay. So I clearly just didn't leave it on long enough.
Yeah.
It takes so long that I was like, clearly this has been 10 minutes. This is going to explode.
Yeah, I know. Because it's so tiny.
Okay, like all the other voices, I'm going to ignore that one in my head.
Yeah. That's one you can take off the list.
Yes.
I love this very specific expertise that you have, Reggie. It's very impressive.
I've seen you in talk gadgets and cars in your act, and everyone's fascinated. Actual information is being given.
It's true. I do love trying to, like when people are like, not into something, you know, or they seem uninterested in a bit of technology, or they're like, I just give up on like that. That's where I come in. I'm always just like, no, actually, it's not that hard. It's blah, blah, blah. You know, like, yeah. I just love that.
I saw you stick to your guns so much that a lot of Bozeman is now looking into electric cars because of you.
Yeah, that's so awesome.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, you really, and convinced me, too, because that's what I'm holding out for.
Yeah. I mean, electric cars are great, and they're coming down in prices, too. Mm-hmm. Like, Volvo just announced that EX30 just now. It's like a really tiny SUV. And they have an off-road version coming out. And it's only like $40,000.
Wow. Have you done any reading up on the Polestar?
Oh, the Polestar?
Yeah, Polestar.
Yeah, Polestar. Which Polestar?
Two.
The two.
Yeah. Oh,
the two's great. It's a really cool car. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a great one.
So you support me having dreams of getting one.
Oh, Polestars are great. Yeah, they're okay. Super environmental.
Told you, Karen.
Yeah. Driving a Tesla.
Yeah.
Wait, but I've never heard of Polestar.
Yeah. Polestar.
There's just a logo. There's no text anywhere on it. Now they have some little Helvetica about down by the back
wheel
well.
Yeah, by the sensors.
Belt. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
And near the sensors, as yes. Reggie said. And it's just a company like Tesla or something.
It's a Volvo. It's a Volvo performance. Volvo. It's like it's a performance brand for Volvo.
I love the way it looks. I love it. It's a simple, boxy. Like if you ask a kid to draw a car, it has that shape.
Yeah, it's very, very Swedish.
Yeah,
it's very like it's just sensible but elegant in a very kind of light, classical way.
See, somehow. I knew you would sell me on it, and it would have the words straight out of the catalog.
It's great. The Polestar is great, and super environmental. They're trying to do full closed loop manufacturing, meaning they can recycle all of their cars. Like almost 80% of their cars can be recycled. They label all the metals. The different types of metals they use in the car are all labeled. And so when the car comes back to them, if it's totaled or something like that, they can fully pull it apart and they can reclaim all the materials.
That's great.
Yeah, it's really really great car company, and it's just a great car. Electric cars are so easy to maintain. You don't have to worry about tires. That's it.
But you don't have to pay attention to any signs.
Not everybody worries about tires, so, you know.
I mean.
So I guess you have no worries.
Just no worries whatsoever.
No worries.
What I'm really impressed by, and I thought it would be the opposite, is this car is insanely fast.
Oh, it's crazy.
And when I first got it, I would be at, like, stoplights, and like BMWs would pull up and rev their engine and want to race me to the next light
to see if it the 0 to 60 can.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, okay. And I would just be like blowing people out of the water, or like, you know, on
you've been street racing.
Well, lightly. I mean, just to be like, if you would like to do this, sir, fine.
Civilized
with me.
Street racing.
Yeah, yeah.
Of just like, if you're gonna force my hand, now I beat you at this.
Yeah.
And it's so fun. It's like the pickup, especially compared to the car I had before, the pickup, like getting onto the freeway or anything, it's like
easy.
It becomes so stress free.
Yeah, it's like the closest thing you can feel to being a superhero.
Yeah,
you know, where you're like, I need to get over there. Oh, here I'm over there.
But you also don't feel, because of the compression, I drive it in the compression mode, so you don't feel out of control. Like, the second you take your foot off the gas, you're slowing down.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you mean the regenerative braking.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I don't, in this car, can you set the levels of it?
I believe
in my,
so.
I used to have a Tesla Model S and a P85D and a P100D after that, and you could set the regen level, but then I rented a 3 recently, and I couldn't figure out how to set the regen level. So I was wondering, like, maybe Tesla was like, ah, fuck it, just one regen level for all of our cars.
Yeah, he's had a real fuck it attitude lately.
He has been focusing on the wrong things, that's for sure.
What the hell's this guy?
Speaking of focusing on the wrong things, I hope you hit that curb. Actually, that was some impressive.
This guy, dum dum.
Until I saw him confidently take that turn. Now I like him.
Yeah, now he's gettable.
Now he's in charge.
That guy's Charles.
I am confronted after this. You guys would be so mad if you saw my tires right now. People flag me down and tell me that they're low. Strangers.
Oh, no.
Oh, really?
I know.
Jesus.
I know.
Well, see, I might have a compressor you can borrow. I have a better compressor. I think
you definitely have.
Because I have like five.
It's so. Are you still doing your Watts app? That
It still exists, but it's not. There's no updates to it or anything. The guy that was kind of managing it or overlooking it or whatever the fuck, he was just too much money every month. And I really wasn't using the app, you know?
Yeah.
I wanted it. I was trying to make it like, this is my content on my app, you know?
Yeah.
Like, guys, follow my app or whatever. And it just, I don't know. I just didn't have the team to like make it a thing.
Yeah. That's a lot of work.
Also, I'd like to apologize for never doing, you wanted artwork for it and I just never did it.
Oh, and for what?
For WhatsApp.
Oh.
You're like, I want a t-shirt. And I'm like, okay, I can do that.
Oh,
and
then right. That's true.
I just went on a bike ride.
It's totally okay because it didn't really matter, it turns out. So, I mean, someday, I mean, it still exists. So it's in the App Store, I think, hopefully indefinitely, but maybe I'll be able to do something with it in the future.
Well, my offer still stands.
Okay, well, if I get back on it, I will let you know.
I feel like, you should definitely go, sir.
Yeah, you should.
I mean, that was your right, absolutely, to run.
Here's some of that sweet, sweet Dodgers traffic, I promise. Baseball, it's America's reason for stopping in the street.
Oh, there's the Elliott Smith wall.
Yeah.
They kept it.
There's times I've walked past it, and I'm in a pretty good mood by this Mexican restaurant. Well, not now that I'm seeing it's closed.
Oh, shit. Bar restaurant closed?
That sucks. Oh,
crazy.
But then I get bummed out when I go past that wall. I'm not kidding. There was, like, a feeling that overcame me, and then I realized it's because it's the Elliott Smith wall.
Because of Elliott Smith.
It's a sad wall.
RSP.
What's RSP now?
Just when someone dies.
Oh, respect.
Yeah.
Exactly. Mad respect.
Yeah, mad respect. Angry respect.
Infuriated respect toward you and your memory.
I'm lousy with respect for that guy.
Reggie, do you have anything that you want to table, plug, get out?
Emotionally, information-wise.
Just anything.
Well, I have a book coming out.
Ooh.
Let it be about Montana.
It's called Great Falls, Montana.
Yes!
Hey!
Yeah, it's just an autobiography, and focuses primarily on Great Falls, my upbringing there, and then, like, mostly about my high school experiences.
Hmm.
It goes a little bit into Seattle and a little bit into New York, but...
Oh, yeah, you went to the famed Art Institute, a place where in high school I wanted to go so bad and learn how to airbrush milkshakes or whatever I saw in the brochure. And they had a program when I was 17. I went to like a week-long camp, and you went there and you took classes. I think it was my parents letting me know, we cannot afford this school, but you can go do the fantasy camp. Oh. And it was one of the best experiences of my life. It was so cool. We were just there for a week, and I wanted to go there so badly. But it was around that time, shortly after, you were probably in the building doing music.
Oh, okay, yeah. I didn't know they did all that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was the coolest thing ever.
So is it high school or a college level?
College.
Yeah, I was still in high school. It was the coolest thing ever. I wonder if they still do that. I kept in touch with all the kids I met. It was like one of those first times I was like, without my parents on a road trip with other kids.
That feels always so awesome.
Yeah.
And then to land at art, like an art school or an art camp, where like I got to go to one of those one year, and it was just mayhem. And kind of like, we went to a small school, so it was like kids from the city teaching us how to be like drama nerds or like art, you know what I mean? Like it was just kind of like, oh, this is how you do it. Like, listen to the Smiths and you have to get a certain kind of haircut and get your striped sailor shirt and, you know, be an individual, get into mime. It was great.
Yeah, it was the best. Right when we arrived, we were all on a bus. They were shooting a movie, and it was actually a sunny day in Seattle, but for the movie, they had to make it look rainy. So there was just this giant shade and fake rain coming down, and we saw they were just filming two guys walking on a sidewalk, and then we turned. And then it wasn't till a couple years later, it was that scene in When Harry Met Sally, or sorry, Sleepless in Seattle, of course. where there's an actual scene, and it was from the vantage point of exactly where we were. I'm not fully convinced I wasn't a camera person on that movie, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, it is possible.
Yeah, I was in the Union.
Yeah, were in the Onion.
I was in the Onion. It's a parody of Information.
Yeah.
I'm always on it, in the Onion. But it was, I saw that scene. It's, wow. I'm not here to brag.
Yeah, no, it's not, I don't think it's bragging if it happened to you.
Yeah, exactly.
If it's real.
Yeah.
Yeah, if it's real, it's not a brag.
Did you find it, like, easy to write a book, or was it, did you have to really sit down and focus?
Well, I worked with a phantom writer, so all I did was sit back, tell stories.
Oh, nice.
Oh, that's great.
Relive my thing, and then the phantom writer would just kind of ask questions, you know, and kind of
is that the same as a ghost writer, or what's the difference between phantom and ghost?
Well, phantom is like a better ghost writer.
Okay.
Slightly scarier.
No, I mean in the spiritual realm.
Yeah. Just more powerful.
Okay, wow.
Yeah, phantoms are way more powerful.
That's amazing.
The highest level you can get is a wraith writer.
Yes, yes.
But the screaming, oh my God.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of wailing. Yeah,
and you got
gnashing of teeth.
All the 10-sided die.
Yeah, there's a lot of die rolling. And it's just like every decision you make, it's like, okay, let's consult the die.
Please, no, not again.
Yeah, exactly.
When does your book come out? Because that's a book I will read, and I don't make that threat ever.
Yes, I get it. It's October 17th, and it's available on pretty much wherever books are sold, but you can pre-order it on Amazon. Oh, there's it too. There you go, it's your Polestar.
Oh, well, see, it's nice. I'm going to get one.
It's available, Amazon, you can pre-order it.
Nice.
And you might be able to pre-order it other places, too. And then I'm going to do an audiobook for it as well.
Oh, and of course, Karen, you did that as well, right? You did the voiceover for your own book?
We did, yeah.
That'll be fun.
Was it fun?
It was fun. It was a little, what's funny is when I would go to say it, read something I'd written, I felt like it was this third person separation. So I was kind of like, is this the voice I should be using? It was weird. It was kind of like going to read a thing and feeling like I'm clicking into yet another part of my personality to be the reader.
Yeah, that's crazy when the character is you and you don't know if you're right for the part.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, I'm definitely not getting this audition. No, you got it and you have to do it. That's the bad man.
Wow, I do love that.
Yeah.
That's...
I mean, maybe what I'm saying is I was dissociating while I was doing it, but yeah.
That's so exciting. And when I said I'd read the book, I'm going to wait for the audio version because I want you to read me the book, Reggie.
Yeah. Well, hopefully I'll do an okay job. I wanted to, I wanted to have Fred Armisen read it. Because I just thought it would be funny to have someone else read my book.
Yes.
Narrate my book, I should say. But,
no, that's a job. I can't wait
for
you to
do it. Go ahead, sir. You're a cop.
Yep.
In an old school cop car, which is kind of rare.
It looks fake, actually.
They're always usually SUVs, so it's always nice. I'm like, that's not right. That's a movie cop.
For all I know, that's someone that just bought a used cop car. I don't even think you have to spray paint it black anymore. You can just buy them.
Yeah.
And it's so confusing and frustrating.
Yeah, I know. That is, it's especially when they leave the searchlight on it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Happens all the time.
It does happen all the time. Civilians out there pretending to be cops and they'll get in trouble. But when I wear a badge at the mall.
Yeah, that should be the one place that you should be able to kind of do badges. I got a badge recently.
For what?
Weeblow?
Yeah, Weeblow. it's like, well, why aren't you above? It's called the 1199 Foundation, and you kind of donate to a police organization called 1199 Foundation, and they give you this license plate bracket that says 1199, and then they give you this really cool bronze badge that's in like a wallet, like a badge comes in.
And it looks real?
Yeah, and it has your name on it, it has your member number.
Have you misused it yet to get what you want?
No, well... I mean, I guess the idea is if you were ever caught speeding in California, like on the highway, and you get pulled over by a highway patrol, the license first, hopefully they'll see the license plate bracket.
It's so funny that you...
And then you'll have your badge.
The sheriffs, when I lived in Austin, the sheriffs used to cold call. I'd answer the phone and they're like, do you want to donate? And they'd be really aggressive. And I got intimidated once and I donated and they sent me a sticker. And I put it on my car. And then they would like badger me every year to donate again. And I'm like, there's other things I feel much more strongly about. But I got pulled over for speeding in a school zone. I wasn't even going that fast. And the guy was screaming at me. And then he saw that sticker and I thought he was going to invite me over for dinner. Not only did it get me out of a ticket, I had a friend I didn't want for life.
Wow.
But it did. It did.
I wish they would have gave me a sticker.
Yeah, it really does.
Because the license plate bracket is cool, but I would rather have a sticker and just have a regular, like a normal license plate bracket, because it does kind of fuck with the color of my car.
Right.
The aesthetics get fucked up.
Yeah, I kind of, because it's just silver, and like it just looks better when you have that black license plate, like just by itself.
Yeah.
On there.
I do appreciate that on all your cars, you've had that Dead Kennedys sticker.
Yep, that's true.
Is it on your new car, too?
Yeah, it's on both of my cars.
See, I love it.
God, imagine if you were pulled over by a cop who also liked the Dead Kennedys. You'd be set.
I think it'd be great.
Both of his worlds colliding, it would blow his mind.
And I have the only other sticker I have on there is another band called Nice, and that's it. Those are my only stickers.
Nice.
Well, this isn't your house, but we're going to drop you off here.
Oh, that's really sweet. You guys are so incredibly sweet.
You're the incredibly sweetest.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for doing this.
This was awesome as Flork. I'll de-mic and then see what you guys look like from the front.
Is it weird that you're on a podcast where you don't see our faces?
Yeah, I do. I kind of like the idea, like part of me is like, well, maybe I should just get out and just like, I'll never know if it was actually those people or not. Sounded like you.
You get out and you just have this long pink ponytail.
Yeah, totally. Like, oh shit, you're not, oh my God, that sucks.
Wrong car.
Oh my God.
Well, I'll see you in Montana, and I assume you mentioned me in your book.
Yes.
I open doors. I don't know how.
It was good seeing you guys.
Good to see you,
Thanks
too.
Thanks so much,
You
Andy.
Look terrific. It is you.
Yeah, I told you.
Hi, buddy.
Hey.
Bye.
See you guys.
Good to see you, pal. I like that sweater.
I like that guy.
Me too.
Fun.
Oh, I kept flubbing my words.
Oh, she want to wrap it up?
Oh, yeah.
I guess we should.
Between you and I, though. Oh, yeah, we're still recording. You've been listening to Do You Need a Ride? D-Y-N-A-R. Well, maybe not in this neighborhood. We should not.
I don't think so.
This has been an Exactly Right production.
Produced by Annalise Nelson.
Mixed by Edson Choi.
Our talent booker is Patrick Kottner.
Theme song by Karen Kilgariff.
Artwork by Chris Fairbanks. Follow the show on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Dynar Podcast. That's D-Y-N-A-R Podcast.
For more information, go to exactlyrightmedia.com.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Follow Do You Need a Ride on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you like to listen so you never miss an episode.
If you like what you hear, rate and review the show.
And visit the exactlyrightstore.com to purchase Do You Need a Ride merch.